Welcome to the next episode of Feral and Fabulous. I am so excited. I have the most amazing, beautiful guest today. This is somebody that I have known. We figured it out earlier, about 20 years, Bevy Davis. And I am just, again, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited
to have you here. We were talking earlier. I think we met. It was 2005. And I knew it had been a long time ago, but 20 years, it's like, oh my gosh, 20 years. It is a long time.
But it doesn't feel that long.
It doesn't. That's what's so weird about it is it's like, it doesn't feel that long, but yet when you literally clock it, it's like 20 years. And so much has happened. In fact, I was thinking, actually, I was talking to Dave the other night, that when I think back to when we first met, we were both in previous marriages.
Yep.
We both had, our kids were, I mean, your kids were young.
Babies.
Your kids were really
babies.
Little. My kids were young. They were not as young as your kids, but they were still much, much younger, school age, you know, kind of thing. And so definitely we were in very different spaces and places in our life. And so it's like fast forward to 20 years later, we both remarried. We have blended families.
Yep.
I mean, it's just, again, have been on these different journeys and stuff like that, both work and personal and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm really kind of fascinated to kind of like bring us up to speed. I'm so curious, how did you meet Poncho, your current husband?
Oh my goodness. So this is totally a story of small world. His sister was a sorority sister of mine at A&M. We were both Chi Omegas together at A&M. And A&M Chi Omega had a 40-year reunion back in 2015. And at that event, one of my best friends since pledship was a roommate of his sister's. And his sister, Heather, came over to the table and started talking to Andrea and kind of did this whole, hey, is Bevy seeing anyone? And Andrea said, well, no, but I've wanted to set them up for years. And Heather said, okay, I'm not trying to set you up, but my brother is an introvert. I am not. And so she said, I know you're really involved. I know you get out and about and you do things and you socialize with friends. So could you maybe just, if he calls you, would you invite him and include him? And if he shows up, that's on him. And if he doesn't, that's on him. And I'm like, sure.
Okay, cool.
So that was how we met. It took him 4 months to actually call me.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, so that was that.
Oh, he was an introvert squared.
Yes. So that reunion was in April. And then he didn't call till August.
Are you kidding?
Mm-mm.
Were you like blown away when he did call, or were you, had
no,
you kind of figured it was not going to happen at that
point?
Yeah,
I think Heather set the stage when she said, look, I'm not trying to set you up. I just want my brother to have chances to get out more.
Sure.
And, because I'm the person who will walk up to a stranger and go, you look like somebody I know. He will see someone he knows and goes, oh, I know that person, but I'm not going to go say anything. And so when he actually called and he texted first, I'm like, yeah, you know, hey, we're happy hour. I was working in Austin at the time. I was driving back and forth from Austin about 3 days a week. And, we were getting a happy hour together at Stoneworks. And, I said, hey, last minute, happy hour. This is where we'll be. This is what time. And, he said, okay. And actually what I got was, well, I have my kids. Well, I this, and I'm like, this is where we'll be. Like you do you. And if you can come, great. This is where we are. And one of my girlfriends that was with me said, how will you know it's him? I said, well, I think that he'll walk in and look exactly like Heather and scare her. And sure enough, I'm like, oh, there he is. He looked just like Heather in this deer in the headlights. But you know what? Then we met up at the Alma Heights football game that Friday night, and we just started having conversation and spent. So it was nice that there was not an expectation that we connected in some sort of romantic way.
Yes.
And then it just happened. And what's crazy since then is all the places that I have found that our paths crossed and we didn't know it.
Really?
Like we went on a family vacation and somebody was scrolling through the phone looking at pictures.
Yeah.
And his middle daughter said, wait, hold on, go back to that. And it was my oldest daughter, Elizabeth, when she was in the fourth grade at the Alamo Heights Strings concert. And his middle daughter, Sloane, is sitting right behind her.
Are you kidding?
So here we are in all of these same school events. And then another one of my best friends that I met here in San Antonio, we were pregnant at the same time with both of our children. Grew up down the street from him. So I'm looking at these pictures of 4th of July parades.
Oh my gosh.
And there's Ann, and there's Poncho.
That That's so crazy. So
this small world is like, these connections are intentional. I always think the quilt work of God and each stitch matters. And
amen.
Man, he's going to connect it.
Wow.
If he wants it to happen, he's going to connect it. I love it.
I do too. That is so cool. I did not know that story. So I love that. And I think, like I said, it's just amazing how life works in that regard. You know, I mean, the people that you meet and you never know what role they're going to play, you know, in the long, you know, scheme of things. And so that is fantastic. And I know, obviously, you've talked about each of you have kids. Mm-hmm. And so there's the whole blended family thing. So, and I feel like you and I both have blended families, and, I feel like these days it's not that uncommon for people to be living in a blended family situation. So I'm just curious, how have you navigated that, and what's that been like?
So it hasn't always been easy on both sides.
Right.
But I learned years ago, after my divorce, there was a couple that sat behind my girls and I in church on a regular basis. And my youngest daughter, Caroline, I'd turn around and she was crawling on this lady's lap, and she's taking her bracelets off and putting them on, and she's asking for her earrings and her glasses and just all sorts of stuff. And I thought, oh my goodness, this woman is going to be so mad at me. And then there was a Sunday I realized we were there first and she sat behind us, and I went, oh, she chose to sit behind us. She knew what she was getting into. And they became like another set of grandparents.
Wow.
And so I learned that there's the family that you're born into, and then there's the family you choose.
Yeah.
And whether you marry them or not, there are people that play the role of family. And I feel like that's the approach that we've been able to take with our blended, is that we're not always best friends, but I do believe that we do always love each other and want the best for each other, and support each other. And we celebrate their successes. You know, his oldest daughter got married in October, and she's a nurse in Raleigh, North Carolina, and never would have thought she'd move that far away. But she's in the ER in one of the Duke hospitals, and she loves it.
Wow.
And we're thrilled for her, and we're going to go visit. And I'm so excited to go visit in January. And then his middle daughter is working for a fashion company in New York. It's her dream. She wanted to go to New York. She wanted to be in New York, and she's killing it.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh.
So, I mean, all of our kids are doing great things, and it's fun to share. We have a group text. It's called D's Nuts. Is a nutty family.
I love it.
And we share things that are happening. And my niece and nephew, my blended niece and nephew, are younger and both in middle school, but they're in the band and playing soccer and playing softball and all over the place. And we're celebrating their successes. So it really is fun.
That's amazing. It really is fun. Oh my gosh. I love that. What a great story. And I totally relate to that, because when Dave and I got married, he has a son, and he had a son that's basically a year younger than my middle son. So we were able to, and of course we were a little older in life when we married, so that we had, some of our kids were not even living at home. But then we had a boomerang situation where one of our kids, or actually a couple of our kids, you know, came back home. You never know when you're going to have the kids that they leave the nest, and then they come back for a period of time, and then they're off again. So definitely, I know what you're saying about that, you know, working through the challenges of a blended family. But we've been really lucky and kind of have the same philosophy that you mentioned, in that I feel like we all just genuinely get along. And in fact, Dave's ex-wife, she's going to be a guest on the podcast. I'm super excited
her.
Yeah, she's big into tennis, which anyway, I'm super excited about that. But we genuinely all get along. We like each other. She's remarried as well. And just, again, it's been a really great kind of growthful, if you will, relationship that I feel like we've all grown together. And kind of looked at it like what's best for everyone involved, you know, and trying to balance any individual's, you know, needs with the what's best for the family as a whole, including all the members, you know. And so I love that that's the approach that you guys have taken. I know along the way, getting to the point where you are now, you guys have experienced some health challenges. I know that my family has gone through some health challenges as well. And so I'm so curious kind of like what role that played, because I do want to get into the topic of talking about some of the products, some of the cool products that you've got available to deal with some of these different health challenges. But I would love to hear kind of what led you, kind of what was, you know, going on in your life that kind of led you down that path.
Sure. So I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2007. I can go back to 2002. My first baby was literally 9 months old, and I had a rapid onset headache that as I stood up out of a chair, it took me to my knees. And we actually went to the emergency room because at the same time I realized I had lost feeling on the left side of my body. And so went to a neurologist who said, we're going to run some tests, just some generic, rule out some things and do some MRIs. And at the end of the day, came back and said, found this one lesion in my brain and said, you either had a really intensive migraine headache or you have multiple sclerosis. So he said, if you never have physical symptoms again, don't go looking for it. But if you do, you should very quickly go see a neurologist about MS.
Okay.
Tie this back to my mom's sister, my aunt, had multiple sclerosis. And they were just beginning to try to make connections to see if MS was genetic.
Is there a familial or
I don't know.
Don't know yet.
I don't know. Okay. I'm sure my neurologist can tell you, but I don't know if it is or not. Okay. But it was enough for them to say, hey, we're going to look at this. And ironically, when I asked in 2007, when I had my episode and knew when it happened, the voices and the words of that general neurologist who said it's either migraines or MS came back. So I immediately called my OBGYN, who is a beautifully wonderful person and has really served as my PCP. I shouldn't do that, but she has. Said, here's who you go see. And it turns out it was the same neurologist that my aunt had been seeing for years for her MS.
Oh, my gosh.
So I remember telling my doctor, hey, you can put my files. I'll give you permission. You can put my files with hers, but don't tell her I have this because she was in late stages and I just wasn't ready to tell her. She had told me long before I wasn't invited to her MS club.
Oh, gotcha.
So anyway, fast forward to 2023, I had lived virtually symptom-free. Oftentimes my neurologist would say, I can look at your labs and I can look at your MRIs and say, you have a diagnosis, but I didn't always feel like I was living with the disease.
Okay.
But in January of 2023, I had a massive attack. And then I had another one in March of 2023. So twice in a really short time period, I got hit really hard and I lost control of my hands. I lost my ability to walk. My husband had to set me on the couch, pick me up off the couch.
Wow.
I'd slide my feet. I didn't have the strength to pick up my feet.
Right.
And I ended up with a lesion in the spinal cord. And so if you had I remember her telling me, if you had one lane of traffic, your communication is blocked completely. Not even a shoulder.
Got it.
And so I felt like I was living through an epidural. I relate to that.
Yeah, I've had an epidural before.
I could stand.
But you didn't have the feeling. That's got to be such a weird. And I didn't have
the confidence. The sensation and the confidence that I'm not going to fall flat on my face.
Yeah.
And so I spent several months in intensive physical therapy, steroids, IVs, IVIG infusions, all kinds of medications to try to get back on track. But I never just fully regained everything. And so that was in 2024. So I'm 18 months later and still trying to rebuild myself. That's when I started on the product.
Do you have any idea what led to that significant, outbreak or whatever you want to call it, of the MS?
I do. This is not going to shock you. Stress.
Yeah.
I could look back at some events that were happening, the months leading up to, and stress is my trigger. So 2007, when I had the episode that led me to the diagnosis, was coming off the heels of a divorce.
Yeah.
So stress is not my friend.
Yes.
It's not anybody's friend, let's be honest. It's nobody's friend.
It is nobody's friend, but unfortunately, it's a part of life. And you can say, I'm going to avoid stress, right? You know, and of course, it doesn't matter what you do for a living, there's just going to be stress. And life is going to be stressful at times, and you can't always control that. So definitely, I'm so curious that now that you kind of know that stress is obviously not on your side, not your friend. Do you have any things, what do you do to try and keep the stress at bay? And then if that's not successful, I'd be so curious to know, what other things have you learned to do that have allowed you to, again, keep your MS at bay?
So good stress management for me is time with family, getting away.
Yes.
Like if I can get out of my house and I can get out of my office and I can get out of the places that I spend most of my time.
Yes.
That change of scenery is ridiculously therapeutical for me.
Okay.
So I love different places. I love experiences. My husband's a foodie.
Oh.
I am not. We joke that he lives to eat.
Me too.
And he said, he goes, you eat just to live.
Yes.
Like just whatever gets you by. But it's fun to go to new restaurants and have new experiences because he will say, I want to go here because, and he knows chefs and menus.
Oh my
menus
gosh,
and all that
I
kind
did
of
not
stuff.
Know that about
yeah.
Poncho.
He
that
loves
excites
it. Yeah.
me because I'm such a foodie myself. Yeah. Oh my gosh, the producers know I'm like I'm all excited. I'm salivating now. It's like, oh my gosh, well, I'll have to get together with you guys and I've got a bunch of places I want to go.
Well, I laugh because he used to make dinner. I mean, cook from scratch, make dinner, and he sits down at the table and he opens his laptop. And he's looking at recipes for the next meal. I'm like, how do you taste the one that's on your plate right now when you're looking at the flavors in the next one?
Absolutely. But I anyway. So get that. No, yeah. He's my spirit animal in that regard. I'm a big time foodie and I love to be able to, again, I do truly enjoy in the moment the meal that I'm having. But literally, I'm like, oh, when can I have this meal again? Or when can I have this other cool meal? I do. I'm such a foodie.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. It's amazing how different we can all. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so different experiences, change of scenery for me. My church and my faith are really, really important to me. And I lean hard on those. I have great spiritual and prayerful prayer warrior support.
I love that.
And I lean on that. My church is my safe space.
That's so awesome.
I walk into the building and go, exhale.
Yeah.
And I just feel okay. Even if I'm not put together.
Yeah.
I feel accepted and welcomed. And so that is good for me. And then there are just times I have to step away.
Sure.
And I have to say, and it's been okay to say, I need to step away. And this is just about me. But I also have friends who call me out. They're like, remember, stress is not your friend. And they'll tell me, you need to stop.
Yeah.
You need to back off. You need, I'm like, I know. So sometimes I realize I have like 24 mothers.
Yes. That's good. That's not a bad thing.
I do still have both my parents and I'm blessed
in
that. I know.
Your parents are awesome.
Oh, they're amazing.
Yeah.
81 and 80 and living life like they're 67.
I know.
Yeah. Going
so
to the gym
true.
4 or 5 times a week. My mom's in a hiking group and goes hiking. I think every other Friday they go hiking.
Oh,
even
that's
if it's
amazing.
30 degrees outside.
Oh,
she's on a trail somewhere.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, I do work really hard and intentionally to manage my stress.
Sure.
Not always perfect at it, but it matters.
Yes, yeah. It does. At least you acknowledge that it matters and that you, yep. you know, make the time to try and, you know, accommodate that. So very cool. Well, I'd love to get into some of the products that we kind of alluded to earlier, because I know that you're very much into health and wellness, and for good reason. Obviously, you've got a history of a lot of things that you've been dealing with health-wise. As you know, I've got, you know, a family that has been dealing with a lot of health issues myself. My middle son was born with spina bifida. He's battled all the, you know, consequences of that, disability that he had since birth. And then my youngest son was diagnosed when he was 12, I think, with a malignant brain tumor. So I very much relate to when you talk about what an impact health issues can have on you. I think that's so significant. So I'm so curious because I know you've been telling me a little bit about some of these products that you have really come into, you know, working with and having such great successes with. And I know that they're science backed and all of that kind of stuff. And so I would love to hear more about that because I'm just so excited to be getting involved with you as well on that front.
Yeah, sure. So Partner Co. is not yet 3 years old. They'll be 3 years old in February. And it's a large global company that functions and sells products in over 50 countries, debt-free. And what they did was they took several products that had significant potential, but were struggling financially, grouped them all together. It tackles your very common, people say, what is your health goal, right? What's your biggest health challenge? Well, energy. Well, I don't sleep. Well, I'm getting older. well, the inflammation, well, my gut health. And so they've really
yes, packaged. Can I just say yes?
Yeah. If anybody out there has said no to all of those, they're lying.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yes. Yes. Let's be honest. And if you're a woman anywhere between 30 and 60, you're also lying.
Yeah. True.
So it said the inflammation from me and the not sleeping when I was in the middle of those MS attacks, I couldn't get comfortable. I constantly felt inflamed. My joints were stiff. And let's be real. When you're sick, your mental capacity also suffers.
Yeah.
Your emotions suffer. Yeah. I mean, it is just vicious. Yeah. It is such a weight. And so I found myself not being able to climb out of that. And I was taking a nap every day. And I was listening back to all the times both my OBGYN and my neurologist would say, how's your sleep? I'm like, oh, you're so funny. Like, I do everything I can to sleep. I try to go to bed at a decent time. Yeah. I take my melatonin. Yeah. I do my stretching and my breathing exercises. Yeah. I walk. I mean, I was trying to do all the things to sleep well. And my body was like, nope.
So, same.
So I fall asleep in the middle of the day and just didn't have motivation and energy. And, I saw a post online from someone I trusted, who said, hey, well, I have this homeopathic, all natural, stimulant free, hormone free body balancing drop system. I watched it. I followed up on it a few times and I finally called her and I said, I want to know more. And she said, do you know that you have over 60 hormones in your body? Like, oh, no. When I saw hormone balancing, and everybody, first thing they do is they go estrogen, progesterone, testosterone.
Sure, that's
right?
That's the go-to in your mind. Yeah.
But you have over 60 hormones in your body, and your body is meant to keep those in balance. And when they're in balance, life is really good. I'm not telling you it's easy, but life is really good and doable. It makes you sleep. It promotes digestion, mental clarity, reduces the inflammation, the joint pain. And man, I started sleeping like a baby.
Really?
So it took me about 10 days to realize that something was different. And I hadn't yet credited it to the drops, right? The body balancing drops. But I was at work one day, it was 4:30, and I said, oh, I didn't take a nap today. Okay. And I just kind of kept going. I thought, that's great. And I kept going. I had moved my daughter into an apartment in Dallas in October. I started them in September of 24. In October of 24, I moved my daughter to an apartment. I left my drops in Dallas. And I thought...
Accidentally?
I didn't mean to.
Okay, I was going to say, oh my gosh.
No, I'm still getting used to... It's a little bit of an adjustment to get used to taking and working the system.
I understand. I would have been like, if I thought something was helping me, I'm leaving in the middle of the night to go back and get them anything to get sleep. You know,
I don't know that I. Yeah,
you didn't realize.
I didn't credit it to the drops yet.
I understand completely.
So I said something to Poncho about, oh, I left my drops in Dallas at Elizabeth's apartment. And he said, are you going to call Holly Ann and get another box? I said, oh, she'll be in San Antonio for Thanksgiving. I'll just get her to bring me a box then. Are you going to call Holly Ann for another box? And I go, why? And he goes, I don't think you realize what a difference they were making for you. He said, at least in like your mood.
You know what? It's so funny that you bring that up because I feel like sometimes we don't recognize ourselves, what impact things are having, but our partners and our friends and the people that spend time with us that know us, they can see the impact that certain medications or whatever it is that we're doing differently, whether it's exercise or sleeping more, whatever. I feel like those are the people that observe what impact it's having on us. And sometimes, like you said, we don't even realize ourselves what is actually happening, but they can see it more clearly than we can about ourselves.
Yep. You know that saying, be the friend that adjusts another woman's crown, which she doesn't even know it's crooked?
Yes.
Yeah. It was that kind of a moment where he noticed and...
He's like, call her right now.
Yeah, he's like, you want to call her and order another box? And I did. And so then I really started paying attention. I was intentional about looking for what are the differences. And when I started to realize I'm sleeping, I am managing my stress, I am more focused at work... Gosh, my knees aren't cracking when I stand up off the floor. And I can get up off the floor without needing, like I said, I didn't have an escape plan. I needed a table or a wall nearby.
I love it.
To get up. And I still have neuropathy.
Sure.
But it made the most impactful difference on my neuropathy.
Really?
Yes, because of the inflammation.
Yeah.
And so then you start having these extra wins that you don't realize that you needed, right? Yeah. Where I didn't realize I didn't have to walk around all day with an inflated balloon in my gut.
Yeah.
That stuff went away.
Right.
Processing food better. The energy level. Sleeping and energy can be two different things, right? You can have all the energy in the world and still not sleep well.
Right.
But sleep is so important. Your body does a lot of healing while you sleep.
Yeah.
It resets your mind. It resets your soul. It resets everything.
No, I totally agree with that because I've really never had a problem with energy. In fact, you know, my family makes fun of me all the time. They're like, I'm like the Energizer Bunny where like they don't know who's winding me up, but I wake up kind of wound up, you know, and I'm like going crazy. Yeah. And literally it's like you almost have to club me over the head to get me to stop.
Yeah.
But I feel like the sleep part, I have the energy. I can't turn it off to go to sleep. And so I'm so excited to get on these drops to start trying to get a better handle on my sleep because I feel like that is going to be like miraculous if I can get some help with that. And I know you and I have just recently talked about what impact the drops have been having on you. And so I'm so excited to start that journey for myself because I just feel like that can be life-changing. If I can get sleep, I mean, people make fun of me because they'll text me in the middle of the night because they happen to get up to go to the bathroom and they know I'm going to be up. They're like texting me at 3. It's like, oh, she's still up because I, you know, I'm like a cat on a hot tin roof. I cannot go to sleep most nights. So anyway, I'm super excited about this.
Yeah. So I could go to sleep. I didn't have a problem falling asleep. I couldn't stay asleep.
Oh, okay. And that was a separate problem.
Yeah, that was my big challenge. So I could go to sleep, and whether I went to sleep at 9:30 or I went to sleep at 11, somewhere between 2 and 3:30,
you would wake up.
I was awake, and that was a struggle to go back to sleep. Okay. A, why was I waking up? And B, why couldn't I go back to sleep?
Yeah.
So now I am so grateful that it doesn't matter when I go to sleep. I am sleeping a solid 6.5, 7.5 hours straight a night.
Oh, that's amazing.
I wake up naturally and I'm not groggy. I don't wake up and go, oh, already. I wake up and I'm ready to go. And it's been the biggest game changer for me to think back to. It was probably post-college when you slept for 12 hours straight and you felt like, oh, that was so good. Yeah. That's where I am now.
Yeah, no, that's incredible.
And it's a gift. The other thing I'll say about the drops is when your hormones are all in balance, you crave the foods we were meant to eat in the first place.
Oh, girl. So don't even get me started.
We have to talk about it. We have to talk about what we eat, the process, the convenience.
I know.
The least amount of effort required to put food in our body.
Yep.
And one of the things about all of the Partner Co. products is that they are natural products. So they do the farm to pharmaceutical, right? But FARM, farm to FARM, pharmaceutical.
Yeah.
And say the things that were created naturally are what we're meant to put in our body, and we need to go back to that.
Absolutely.
And so the health and wellness industry is one of the most rapidly growing industry sectors globally right now.
100%.
And doctors, nurses, doctor specialties of all kind, right?
Yeah, right.
Are saying we got to get back to, look at the government saying we're going to get rid of the red dye and all of this stuff, right?
Yes.
That we've made it so convenient that we don't take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so this drop system does in a way I could never explain because I'm a math person, not a science person.
Yeah.
That says, hey, body, I want to have these natural things.
Right.
And don't get me wrong. I still love my French fries, my ice cream, and my Diet Coke.
Amen.
I do.
Amen, sister.
But I was, when you and I were spending lots and lots of time together, I was drinking a Sonic Route 44 Diet Coke every day.
I remember that because so many times when we would get together, you would have that in hand.
Bring it with me.
Yes, you would bring it with you.
I was chasing that 99-cent coupon everywhere I could get.
I would call that, I used to call that a bladder buster.
Yeah.
Because that thing was so big. Yes. It was just huge. So
I do still like my Diet Coke, but I don't drink 44 ounces every day, and I don't drink Diet Coke every day.
Right. It's just like a treat now and then.
Yes, yeah. But now it's... I don't crave it.
Right.
Right. But I do crave, you know what? I need protein. I need some fruits. I need some vegetables. I need better balance. When your body is, hormones are all balanced.
Yeah.
You don't have those cortisol, insulin spikes, that roller coaster, right? Yes. It's worse than the stock market these days.
It is. But
when those are all balanced and just kind of flowing,
yeah,
right, smoothly, everything else works.
And that's what I've got to get to that point, because I'm still dealing with the, I have those cravings, and like, it's like chocolate cheesecake is calling my name, and it's like, I'll obsess about it. It's so crazy. It's like, I can be busy in a real estate day, and literally I'm like, chocolate cheesecake, you know?
It'll curb those cravings. Now, it won't make you, so another fun fact, random fact, I have 2 rounds of anorexia in my past. And one of the things about the drops, when you are balanced and you're eating well, you lose weight, right? You lose weight because you're eating the right things. You have the energy because for the exercise.
You don't have some of the cravings for some of the stuff you shouldn't be eating.
Yes. So most people lose weight, and they start to lose weight quickly. Now, whether it's weight or inches, your body feels like,
I'm getting on this drops immediately. I hope you brought them with you.
Did.
Okay, good. I thought you had.
I did. So, okay. Somebody showed me an image and said, when your body is healthy, right, picture a plate of a pound of marshmallows and how much space that takes up, and a pound of apples and how much space that takes up. You may not see the difference on the scale, but your body is shifting and adjusting, right?
Totally. And that's a great analogy, actually.
That moved mountains for me to feel like, okay, I didn't want to lose weight, but if it shifted to how my body was.
If you're healthier,
yes,
then that's what it's really all about. Yes. And I feel like the older I get, I'm more into, and again, being healthier, even though, yes, I'd love to lose weight for the aesthetics of it. But at this point in my life, I really need to lose weight because I have high cholesterol. I need to do it for health reasons. And that to me is a higher priority than the physical, you know, just part of it. Although that's a bonus.
Oh, it is a bonus, right? But we talk a lot about the group that I'm in that is really invested in sharing and promoting this product. We call them NSVs, non-scale victories. You can have victories on the scale, and those are great, and they should be celebrated. But you can have non-scale victories that are almost bigger celebrations.
Oh, 100%. Right? I mean, like sleeping through the night, like, you know, definitely. Yes. I feel like some of those non-scale victories can be far superior to the ones that are related to the number on the scale.
Reducing or getting off prescription meds, right? Your prescription meds are in a lot of ways as synthetic.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I realize I have to be careful. I could be talking out of both sides of my mouth here because I am on a multiple sclerosis infusion.
Sure.
So I appreciate both science
Western,
and medicine.
Yes, absolutely. And there's a place.
And the natural, right? But I am a much better person blended rather than relying on pharmaceutical. So I rarely take Advil, Aleve, Tylenol, Benadryl for different reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
I rarely take any of those anymore because it's boosted my immunity system.
Sure.
I also cannot take immunizations anymore because of the MS.
Same.
A lot of the autoimmune.
I'm allergic to most of the immunizations that are out there.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's important that we keep our immune system strong, right?
Right.
Okay, go back to the sleep again.
Yes.
You need sleep.
Yes.
But keeping it strong, these drops have the ability to boost your immunity system.
Ah, that's awesome.
So I can't say enough good things about them, but I will say this, I'll never not take them. People ask me,
I love it.
You're selling them. Do you still use them? I'm like, here's my packet.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, every day. Yeah,
Every day, 3 times a day.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I know that obviously in addition to the drops, there's several other products that are pretty amazing in the line. And so can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure, sure. So one of the other most popular products that we have is called the Tahitian Noni Fruit Juice.
Oh, yeah. You were telling me about that. I'm super excited. Yes. Yeah.
It also has properties that really boost immunity. It really is, I would say, the best thing that it does. And so in addition to the drops, I take You could put it in the shot glass.
Okay. Oh, I'm all about that. Yes, we can start as a collective group with the producers. We will start, in addition to starting the podcast off with a shot of Platinum Patron, we will now be doing our Nona Drops as well. And so we will do a Nona Drops chaser. Yeah. That could be a thing now.
Hey, I brought you a pack.
What about what about a Nona Martini or something like that?
So it's funny. So they do have all of these different drinks that are already pre-mixed or the powder mixes that you can add, but they're actually sharing mocktail recipes with them. Turn them into something, right? Make them enjoyable. And
because it's fun.
In addition to getting healthy across the board, you have a lot more people that are really, they're taking the non-alcoholic route, right? They're doing the zero proof. And so this is another way to get in some goodness and still make it fun.
Yes.
You can be festive with it. And
absolutely.
So there's several different recipes that use the Noni. There's a product called Everglow that really is a collagen builder.
Yes.
Because women mostly, but men as well. Yeah. We can't say enough about collagen and what it does.
Yeah.
And collagen, not just for our skin, but the internal, your collagen matrix.
Yeah.
Like the internally, it just makes a difference to have that boosted. And so it's something we need to supplement, but using it naturally makes a difference. The natural collagen over the synthetic collagen.
That's awesome. No, I'm so excited. Like I said, I'm ready to dig into all of it. So I'm going to dive head first and can't wait to report back and see how it goes.
Men and women both, it doesn't matter. As long as you're over the age of 18, these products fit for everyone. There are three clinical trials made in an FDA approved facility. No known drug interactions.
That's awesome.
It's, I would say this. People say, what if it doesn't work? My question is, what if it does?
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. Words to live by.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I'm all about giving something a try.
You don't have to be perfect. Just get started.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I'm ready. So cool. 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 Well, this has been so awesome. I'm so excited to try everything. And we're going to get to the next segment of the show where we're going to do the feral or fabulous. So if you want to grab the paddle, we are going to have a lot of fun with this next segment. The first thing I have for you to consider is beets.
Oh.
I love them. I did not know that. Okay.
Beets and goat cheese with a vinaigrette, gold beets, the red beets, they're delicious.
Good for you. Yeah. No, my daughter loves beets as well. And I'm just, you know, I'm not a fan, but I did not know that.
Right. So I mean, it hasn't been a forever thing.
Okay.
But it has been a last few years thing. I love them. Yeah.
Oh, that's very cool. I did not know that.
Makes my dad so proud.
Yes.
Because he'll eat anything that comes out of the ground.
No, absolutely. And growing up, my parents used to serve beets all the time, and they were just those purple, like in that juice and the can. Anyway, I'm not a fan. I just feel like it's like eating a bowl of dirt. But I mean, that's just, I'm just a weirdo. So that's just me. But I love to know that you love beets because I know so many people that are just obsessed with them. And I'm like, I miss the beet, you know, chip. I don't have the beet chip. But anyway.
It can still develop.
Exactly.
It took a while.
No, that's true because there are several foods that I now eat that maybe even 3 or 4 years ago, I'm like, no way. And now I'm kind of obsessed with it. So definitely I'll have to give them another try. Bicycling.
Oh,
okay.
It's fabulous that I should love it. Yeah, I don't.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you. I want to like it really bad. And in fact, I had gotten a, what's it called? The stationary bike that's so popular.
Oh, you guys? Pelotons?
Peloton, yes. We actually bought a Peloton several years ago. And my husband uses it. He'll use it at least 5 times a week. Like he is on that Peloton all the time. He has put that thing, we bought it for me, but he uses it pretty much almost every day. So
I always think about it with the excursions. You travel and they have the bike tours and things like that.
Yeah. He does that electronically.
Okay. If you give me the electric bike, I'm on it.
Yeah.
I'll do that. But the pedaling, no.
No, I'm with you. I know. So I feel a little
enjoy,
bit.
Enjoy, not work hard.
Yes. No, I understand. And I appreciate that exercise is so important.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I don't know. I want to like bicycling. We bought bikes and we have the Peloton and he'll do it both. And me, 5 minutes. And I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm good.
You know, it's crazy though, because we're from the generation where you got on your bike and you rode the neighborhood.
Oh.
Right. And like you had boundaries that said you can't go beyond here on your bike.
Absolutely.
And I mean, you would go from boundary to boundary ride your bike all day long.
All the time.
In somebody's front yard.
We had the bicycle radio when I was in elementary school. Yes. And it was like, you remember the bicycle radio was like a big deal, you know, and everybody rode their bikes and all that kind of stuff. And now I'm like, nah.
Yeah, same.
No, thank you.
I threw mine in the front yard and it's still there.
Yeah, I don't even think a shot of Platinum Patron would get me on a bike. I'm just like, no, I don't think so. Nope.
Yep,
so
I'm with you.
Okay. Costume parties.
Oh, I love to be an observer. I'm a terrible participant.
Okay. You know what? I feel the same way.
I feel the same way. Like I so enjoy Halloween and the creativity. I mean, I get obsessed and sucked into all the reels and the posts that people make at Halloween, or even ugly sweater at Christmas, right?
Same.
I love watching and seeing the creativity of people and going, oh, that's so great. But I have such a complex about getting in a costume and showing up.
You know, I actually feel very much the same about that. I really enjoy going to costume parties to see everybody else's costume. But I don't really want to do a costume myself.
Yep.
You know, I just don't feel like I can come up with anything cool. And even if I come up with a cool idea, I have a very difficult time executing it.
I have a subpar finished product.
Me too. Yes. I don't know what it is. We're very simpatico in that regard because I don't know. Like I said, I love the concept, but I don't know that I like to be the personal participant in it. So
if I had a designer, a wardrobe specialist that would say, here,
yes.
Put this on.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yes, exactly.
I would do it.
I agree with you. Okay. If I had somebody that could coordinate that and make it happen, I'm all about it. But if you're leaving it up to me, I'm not so sure.
Yep.
So, okay. Cool. Air freshener.
Oh.
Me too.
No, thank you.
Me too.
The sprays.
Anything.
Especially in a public bathroom when there are like four different flavors, one in each stall, and they've all gone off.
Yes. No, absolutely. And I feel like there's so many chemicals in air freshener.
Yeah,
I'm just not a fan. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm very, to me, they're very inflammatory. I don't know. I'm just not a fan of air freshener. But I have some friends that literally, they have air freshener in their car. They have air freshener in their home. They have literally everywhere they go in life, they have an air freshener.
Yep.
And they even have one that maybe is plugged in that automatically like goes off every so many
seconds
or minutes or whatever it is. And I get it. I mean, obviously being in real estate, I know that people like to, that, you know, if a house is sitting empty or whatever, they want to just have it have a nicer smell. But I just feel like some of those fragrances are just so pungent and just not a fan.
I'm the same. And there are people now, as you think about things that develop, whose olfactory sensories are they're heightened.
Yeah.
They're really sensitive. And so I have a really, really good close friend who she reacts negatively to perfumes. So when she goes places and men or women are in heavy fragrance, it's hard for her.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
I totally get it. And I'm actually the same way. Ironically, I love to wear perfume, but I have only worn the same perfume like ever since, I don't remember the year that it came out, but I literally didn't wear perfume very much at all until Tresor with Lancome when it came out. And I've worn it every, like, however many years it's been out, I've worn it every year. Other than that, I won't wear anything else because I'm allergic to a lot of the other fragrances. And so I always feel bad, though, because I think, what if people are allergic to this one? You know what I mean?
I know.
So
I feel bad
because I do relate to that. But this one, I tolerate it. It's fine. I don't even notice that I have it on because it's just so, I'm just so used to having it on. But I do appreciate that in some ways, perfumes can be just like air freshener to some people in terms of just their level of, you know, disdain and, you know, allergies and all that stuff.
I do have to balance and wonder, how does a candle tie into that? Because I do love my candles.
Yeah. See, I'm allergic to smoke. I'm allergic to smoke. Like, even if I go to a restaurant, literally, it's so funny. My husband's such a sweetheart. Before we even sit down in a restaurant, if he sees that it has a candle or some kind of light burning at the table, before I even sit down, he's already grabbed it, put it out, and he will not only put it out, he will put it away, because what happens is, as soon as he puts it down, well, the smoke that spirals from it, and number two, immediately a waiter that's on their waiter or waitress, you know, server, as soon as they see that the candle is out, they will come over and relight it. And so it's like they keep trying to relight it all night.
Turn that upside down for
you. No, exactly. And so he'll just be like, no, we need this away from the table or she's going to be so stopped up. She can't even function, you know, to finish her meal. So anyway, so I relate to that. But
hey,
candles,
those battery operated candles are for I lots of reasons
those.
A good thing.
I have those.
I have those.
No. Lux Staging, we had them on the podcast just a few weeks ago, and they turned me on to these battery-operated candles. I have them everywhere in the house. I am obsessed with them. I absolutely love them because it's such a cool ambiance, but there's no smoke. So it's like my whole life I've wanted that kind of vibe, but I just couldn't handle it. So now you don't have to worry about that.
So we don't have an actual working fireplace in our house. But we use those battery operated, like the fairy lights.
Yes.
So we have logs and we wrap those lights in there.
Oh, that's
so cool.
And
you can turn them on. And it just kind of gives the glow.
I love it.
And in South Texas, I mean, we probably don't really run the fireplace that often.
We only need the glow anyway because we don't usually need the heat. We just need, you know, that ambiance kind of thing.
But we also have dogs, though. So occasionally I have to have a scented candle burning because the dogs.
I understand. I have a dog as well. So I do get that. But thank God I'm not allergic to my dog because I'm allergic to just about everything else. So anyway, but no, I get that about a scented candle. I love them for other people. So
I do too.
Monkeys. And I don't mean the band, the Monkees. I mean monkeys as in an animal, monkeys.
Okay. I think they're hysterical.
Okay.
I've lost the word, but the videos that I will get sucked into.
Yeah.
They're hilarious.
Yeah.
The personalities. And then the reels of the ones who were rescued.
Yeah.
And whoever rescued them and they built this bond with and formed this relationship. And then they come back and you see the reaction.
Well, the only monkeys I like, because I don't like monkeys, are the video from MTV days of back our producer, Matt Stigliano, a.k.a. Lupus Thunder, back when they released the song Bad Touch. There's a video of them all in monkey suits and they're dancing around, you know. And so I do love that video, but that's about the only kind of monkey that I'm okay with because I'm still traumatized a little bit from like the Wizard of Oz. I don't know if you remember.
No.
Okay.
Fair.
I just, it's when totally you fair. Say, when you say monkeys, I'm like, that's what comes to mind. And I'm like, oh no, I don't want monkeys flying anywhere. I don't want monkeys around me. My mother actually grew up and had a monkey for a pet. And so, And so I had seen pictures of her when she was younger. She was a young girl and she grew up in South America, but she had a monkey for a pet. And that to me was so traumatizing. Like, I'm just very anti-monkeys. So, but I think it's cool because I know a lot of people that absolutely adore monkeys, that think they make wonderful pets, that they think they're somewhat human-like. And I'm just like, no, thank you.
I don't know about pet. Like, I love Friends.
Okay.
Right? Ross and his little monkey friend, Maurice?
Was that maybe. I think it was maybe Maurice. I'm not. But producers? Matt? Katie?
It was Marcel.
Oh, there we go. I knew.
Thank Caroline God. Will be so disappointed in me because she's a Friends fanatic. But like I can watch and enjoy that interaction with somebody else.
Okay.
I think if it were
real?
If Marcel came over to say hi to me, I'd be a little
not so sure.
Why are you here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I could see that.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Cool. No, I got you on that. Okay. Last one. Christmas movies.
Oh, 100%.
Me too.
100%.
Me too. I'm a sucker.
I am a sucker.
So I have a question for you since you do like Christmas movies. A, what is your Christmas movie? What is your favorite Christmas movie that you love to watch in the season?
Okay. So there are two that I love the most. I love the remake of Miracle on 34th Street with Mara Wilson.
I get that. That's a classic.
I love that one. But I love Tim Allen in the Santa Claus.
Oh, cute.
Love that. I love that dynamic with split family.
Yes.
Right?
And yes.
Trying to blend together, but
for
also
sure.
Trying to keep, like, don't grow up too fast. And
yes.
The magic of Christmas, I don't know.
There's nothing like
those
the magic
are my two,
of
Christmas. Those
absolutely.
Are my two favorites.
No, to me, the magic of Christmas, There's nothing like it. Yeah. I just feel like, and I felt that way as a kid. And even as a grown adult, an older adult, I'm obsessed with Christmas. Like I've talked about this before. There is just no such a thing as too much Christmas for me. So I'm just one of those people that just love Christmas. So
it's really funny because I was walking through our office the other day and I thought every office I looked at had some sort of a Christmas decor.
Yeah.
Whether it was just something on the door, but they put up trees in the lobby, they put out the poinsettias. Most individual offices have some decor. And I thought only season that everybody decorates for.
Yeah.
There are those people that decorate every holiday,
yes,
right? Including St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, absolutely.
But Christmas is the one that is spread out across everyone.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
I love that.
Me too.
I love that.
Same. I'm obsessed with that. I love it. And so I'm curious, one more question for you about Christmas movies. Do you consider the Bruce Willis?
Die Hard?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
I know takes place at Christmas, and I know that it's such a debate.
It is such a debate. That's why I was so curious.
But it is always on the Christmas movie list.
Yes, it is. And I'm not going to lie. I will watch it at Christmas just because I get a kick out of it. I like Bruce Willis, and I just enjoy the movie. So it seems because it does take place at Christmas, I think it gets me into the Christmas spirit. Yeah. So I would classify it as a Christmas movie, but I know most people, actually a lot of people do not, but I still think it's fun. And then my favorite one is The Family Stone. I don't know if you've seen that one, but it's super cool. It's got, I think it's got Sarah Jessica Parker in it.
Yes.
It's got... one of the
she's engaged and goes to meet the family.
Exactly.
Yes,
and
yes.
I don't remember. I think Diane Keaton, and she just passed away. I know. And so I'm so sad. But she plays the matriarch, and I can't remember who plays the dad. But anyway, it's escaping me right now. But anyway, I love to play that. I'll always play that a few times at the holidays. So anyway,
you know, Die Hard may come up the list a little bit more in Christmas movies with the health of Bruce Willis. And
no, you know what?
That
that's so true. No, I agree with that. And so definitely, I think we need to keep it on our Christmas list.
I agree.
So, awesome.
Agree.
Well, you have been an amazing guest.
Thank you.
And
this
I knew you would be. Because I said, you're just such a fun person and such a beautiful soul. And so I'm so appreciative of you coming on the podcast. And so I look forward to doing many more of these with you down
Perfect.
The road.
Perfect.
Awesome.
I'd love it.
And sharing all these cool things.
All
so
right.
Thanks. And to you guys, keep on keeping on. Thank you for joining our latest episode of Feral and Fabulous, and we'll see you next time. Thanks. Bye-bye.